Hello and welcome to the Korean Beauty Show podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lee, K-beauty expert, the founder of Style Story, where you can shop, learn, and explore the world of Korean skincare, and the founder of K-beauty brand Jelly Co. So a big welcome back to the show for all of our regular listeners. And if you are just tuning in for the first time, then we have a jam-packed episode today. We are going to be discussing everything from a potential new skin brightening ingredient that has just been discovered by Korean researchers. We're going to take a look at what's going on in the global sun care market with Korea's three top ODM manufacturers. We've got two new releases, including one from Beauty of Joseon that I know a lot of people will be interested in. And then we have plenty of reviews for K-beauty products that have been shared by real reviewers as well. So that is what is coming up on the show today. So stick around if that sounds like your jam. Now, to get straight into it, one of the articles that I came across this week for our news update was actually from Korea's Rural Development Administration, and they revealed that Korean researchers had been doing more research into an ingredient known as doraji in Korean, and it's sometimes referred to as balloon flower or bell flower in English. The inky name, the Latin name for it, is Platycodon grandiflorum, and it's actually a really pretty flowering plant, and they have already known for a while that this has a brightening effect on the skin, or what we call in Korean mibek, which is often mistranslated to whitening, but I think is probably more correctly a reference to brightening products. This is a food as well. It is eaten in Korea. It has been used in traditional medicine since ancient times. It's known for its antioxidant and its anti-inflammatory properties. And this is not the first time that it has been studied. Korea's National Institute of Horticultural Science previously discovered that processed balloon flower could protect the skin if it had been damaged by UV rays, which, like, let's face it, that's all of us. Pretty much everyone has some kind of damage from the sun, unless you're maybe like a newborn baby or something like that. I know at the moment it's a bit of a trend for people to put their skin underneath one of those lights that shows you like how much UV damage you've done to your skin, and most people are quite shocked by it, so it's pretty safe to say that, like, that's everybody. But this time, what the researchers were doing was carrying out the study to, like, today's scientific standards. And why they were doing this is because they were hoping that the results of their study could actually be used to then come up with a new functional cosmetic ingredient. So you might have heard that term before, functional cosmetic, but if you're not familiar with K-beauty, you might not be 100% sure what that means. I mean, it means something in English as well. It means that it's a functioning skincare product. But in Korea, specifically for products that are sold in the local Korean market, it actually has like a regulatory definition. And that's because Korea has this extra layer in its cosmetic regulatory framework for this this category of cosmetics known as functional cosmetics. And there are certain ingredients and certain percentages of ingredients that if you use them in your cosmetic product, then you're able to call it or claim those functional benefits from it. So in this case, they were looking into whether it has like any mibek or brightening impact. So what they ended up doing is they took this doraji, this bell flower or balloon flower, and they steamed the raw ingredient for 4 hours at between 90 to 95 degrees, and then they dried it out 30 degrees for 1, 2, 3 times, and then they did their testing, and the testing results revealed that it did have skin brightening effects. And one particular piece of information that I thought was quite interesting is they said the melanin production inhibition rate of balloon flower extract that has been matured 3 times, like they did in their study, was 46.6%, and that is twice as high as the results that you would get from just the raw balloon flower. And this is actually higher than the melanin synthesis inhibition rate of kojic acid as well. And that is a very famous cosmetic whitening agent or brightening agent. However, they were doing their testing on rats. So we are obviously not rats. There are differences. So I think this is probably what you would consider to be like a preliminary study, obviously. But what they did is this, the Rural Development Administration published the results of this study in a domestic Korean academic journal related to cosmetics. And they have done this with the hope that more people will come along and do further testing, because their thinking is that if they can develop a functional cosmetic use case for this particular ingredient, that it will increase industrial demand for balloon flower, and that will help the farmers and, you know, give them more ingredients to work with as well. This is one of those ingredients that primarily grows, I believe, in Korea and China. So that was very interesting, and Jungop newspaper was reporting on this as well. So there you go, just the beginning for this ingredient, but that sounds promising. I mean, more work to be done, sure, but like any ingredient that has the potential to brighten the skin, I think deserves a closer look. Speaking as someone that has, you know, obviously suffered from sun damage over the course of my life, I don't think there is any Australian anywhere in the world that does not have sun damage of some type. Like, even though I am really like to a crazy level paranoid about my sun care, and so many people in my family, I'm pretty sure pretty much everyone in the generation above me in my family has at some point had a skin cancer cut out. Like, that is just so common in Australia. So I've been very paranoid about that since I was young, but even still, I definitely still have sunspots or whatnot. Actually, last time I was back in Australia, I just couldn't believe how many people I know had like stitches and things on their face from getting skin cancers cut out. I think that's just Australians of a certain age, because they didn't know back then that you had to wear sunscreen. People used to just bake out in the sun in like olive oil, which if you think about doing that now sounds crazy, but like back in the day, that's what people did. And that kind of segues into the second piece of news that I had to share with you guys. And that is that Korea's leading cosmetics manufacturers are now targeting the global market with their sun care technology and products. So you've probably noticed this if you've been anywhere on social media lately, if you're in any Facebook groups, if you are on TikTok, you will have seen people sharing their favorite Korean sunscreens and all of the different products that they're using, like the differences between everything. And that is not a coincidence. The global sun care market in general is forecast to grow about 8.7% annually by 2030. That's according to a survey by Research and Market. And essentially, Korea's biggest cosmetic manufacturers want in on the action. And why not? They have developed all of this different technology. They've got patents out the wazoo, so that makes sense. So I'll go through the three top ones, which are Colmar Korea, Cosmax, and Cosmeca. So Colmar Korea has a crazy market share of about 70%, and indeed sunscreen sales accounted for 31% of their second quarter's performance. They have obtained recently 50 sun care patents. And if you are a regular listener of the show, you may recall that last time we discussed the latest K-beauty news, Colmar was also in the news. And that was in relation to a scandal, a litigation they were having with a different company in Korea for stealing some of their sun care technology, and against two former employees. So the other players in the market are Cosmax and Cosmeca. So Cosmax has recently actually developed a new sunscreen formulation called Capsule Sun. And what that does is essentially injects oil components into an aqueous phase without the use of emulsifiers, and that is then used to secure more transparency in the sunscreen. So it's better for people basically that like lightweight, transparent sunscreens, and they've actually done a patent for their capsule line, so that's what they've been working on. Cosmeca is more of a latecomer to the scene, but they are invested in it now because they've seen the potential growth growth of the industry, and in particular, the head of Cosmeca thinks that inorganic sunscreen products are the most likely to grow. So I assume then that's where they're going to be focusing their time, efforts, and attention. But I think what that means is we can probably expect to see more sunscreen products coming out of Korea. The difficulty with sunscreens in general is just that the regulations vary so much from country to country that it's not as easy to export them as, you know, it might be. And you will see this play out sort of in everyday scenarios, like you going online to Amazon or something like that and trying to get your hands on, say, the Beauty of Joseon sunscreen, and you might have realized that you can't get them. And that's because the smart brands, in my opinion, are trying to get on the front foot and not be known as people that try and skirt regulations. Benton recently emailed me and a bunch of other Korean beauty distributors that sell their products to let everyone know that there is no way to sell their sunscreens in the States. So they're putting a stop to that as well. And that's just because of the FDA regulations there. And, you know, it's the same thing in Australia that technically, you know, they're not allowed to sell them there. There are a bunch of people that just don't care about the cosmetic regulations in Australia and seem to sell them anyway. And our TGA up until now has been pretty delinquent about it, which, you know, I think I've shared my views on this at large. Anytime I share anything like this on social media, I get like trolls coming at me being like, oh, is this all she talks about? And I'm like, no, but that's obviously all you care about because you come and find me every time I talk about it. And, you know, a lot of these people, you can guess which stores they're from, probably the ones that are selling products that they shouldn't. But no, this is not like a personal bugbear of mine. It's just fact that some people do the right thing and some people don't do the right thing. Anyway, look, I'm sure they'll love that little line. But suffice to say that this is a growing category in Korea in general. I don't know. So the thing about all of these different manufacturers, Colmar, Cosmax, and Cosmeca, is that they work with a lot of global beauty brands. But when it comes to the sun care technology, because of the intricacies of the cosmetic regulatory process in all the different countries and all the certifications and things that you need to have, I'm not sure how easy it is necessarily to simply export all of these things that they have patented overseas. Certainly in the bigger markets like America, it is very difficult. There is a lot of red tape. I mean, Australia is a small market. I think that's why, you know, no one sort of bothers with it. But there are other markets overseas that do have a whole bunch of different regulations. I know Europe, the cosmetic regulatory scheme there is very onerous. It's not something that I personally have a whole lot of knowledge on, just because I don't export to Europe. That is not my core business. So I will leave that for someone else to go through the intricacies of all of that. But suffice to say that there are requirements in order to just export your products to Europe, and you're supposed to have certain certifications and things like that. That much I do know for a fact. But anyway, I think we can expect to see Korean companies being involved in a lot more of this. And, you know, obviously there is a lot of activity in the local domestic market here in relation to sun care. Brands seem to just be rolling out sunscreen after sunscreen at the moment. You know, even brands that have one hit sunscreen, they're coming up with something else for a different skin type. I think we will see that increase as the global sun care market increases as well. Now, on to some new K-beauty products that have just been released on the Style Story website, and I have a couple that I know for a fact that people are going to love. And the first one is Goodall's Green Tangerine Vita C Dark Spot Care Cream. Now, this entire line of Green Tangerine has been trending in Korea for ages, but I feel like it's really starting to get popular overseas as well, and that is because green tangerines are supposed to help improve the appearance of any sort of dull skin or anything like that. Now, a lot of the claims that the company makes about their products when it gets translated into English, personally, I think they're taking it a little bit too far in terms of you know, the cosmetic claims that they can make, particularly around things like getting rid of, you know, melasma and pigmentation and things like that. This kind of cream is really good for giving you a more radiant complexion, but it is not going to get rid of like severe sun damage or anything like that. So, you know, I think it's probably just best to know that going in. It's just going to give you a more youthful glow. And if you do have dull skin, hopefully brighten it up a bit. That is the most that you can realistically hope for from a product like this. Having said that, this is a really good one for oily and combination skin types. And the other selling point of this product in particular is that it has a glass container that is made of 90% PCR. So that's post-consumer recycled glass. And that is a thing that over the years, our listeners have wanted to know a little bit more about what Korean beauty company is doing more in the sustainability space. You know, sometimes I have people ask me, like, is the industry as a whole sustainable? And I just honestly don't think you can judge the industry as a whole. If you judge any industry as a whole, I think you would have to say most are unsustainable. But I think it pays to look at the individual company, what they're doing. You know, do they have any measures in place? How are they packaging things? What are their commitments? You know, obviously at Style Story and at Jelly Co., we have pledged and we actually put 1% of our profits every year into our projects for 1% for the planet. And that is just a commitment that we've made because that's important to us. I think I already mentioned our charities for this year are the WWF's Adopt a Koala program and then also the Great Barrier Reef Foundation Plant a Coral. We participated in their Plant a Coral appeal because that is something that we can do at the level that we're at to actually make a difference, like going to the Great Barrier Reef and having our money fund planting new coral beds is going to actually help the environment. So look, I don't think you can judge it as an industry, but you know, PCR and using those kind of things when you can, I think is a really good start. So what is in these products? Great question. And tangerine extract is the key ingredient. There are 68% in this cream. It also contains a variety of different plant ingredients, rosemary, chamomile, green tea, licorice root, centella, that are supposed to have calming effects on the skin. Niacinamide, which is of course great for your pores, and then glycerin, which is just a nice skin replenishing ingredient that will help to establish normal balance in the skin as well. The second product that I already know is going to sell out really quickly is Beauty of Joseon's Light On Serum, which is centella and vitamin C. So what they have done with this product is they have used a vitamin C derivative. So instead of L-ascorbic acid, they have gone with 3-0 ethyl ascorbic acid. And they're saying that this offers, you know, comparable skin enhancing advantages, but it's not as sensitive to light and heat. And look, pretty much everyone will tell you that there is a debate as to whether these kind of derivatives are in fact as effective as true L-ascorbic acid, as pure vitamin C. But there is no doubt at all that pure vitamin C is a very, very finicky ingredient that's extremely hard to work with. It's hard to transport. It's hard to distribute. I know, you know, anytime we have had pure vitamin C products in the Style Story warehouse, we have issues literally every single time because they don't travel very nicely either. So oftentimes once they get to a customer, the lid will have already popped open and the product is not usable, or it's already started oxidizing during the journey, and then by the time it gets to them, it's already, you know, a yellow color. And then we have questions and inquiries, can I use this? Do I throw it out? Like, what do I do with it? From a distributor's point of view, it's a really annoying ingredient, L-ascorbic acid, to work with. But from an efficacy point of view, if you can get it fresh, it is more efficient. But I guess the other thing is when we're talking about, you know, concerns around sustainability, is using a derivative potentially more sustainable? And I would say undoubtedly yes. And the reason for that is I can't tell you how many products that we have had to throw out that have gone to waste, that have gone straight in the garbage, or that our customers have had to throw out over the years that do contain L-ascorbic acid. It's just extremely fickle. Some manufacturers try and get around that by using things like vitamin C powders, and they are problematic for a whole host of other different reasons. So I never criticize a brand for using a derivative. I think there are very good and very valid reasons for using a vitamin C derivative rather than fresh vitamin C, but that's just more of an FYI. I'm sure this product will be extremely popular anyway. It has 10% of ethyl ascorbic acid in addition to 68% of Centella Asiatica, plus glycerin, betaine, and panthenol. So they are some new releases to look out for right now on stylestory.com.au. And we also have had a whole bunch of new reviews left for products on our website by real customers who have purchased and tried the products. So I'll share some of those with you. The first one was for Jellico's Cherry Blossom Sleeping Mask. And this customer gave it a 5-star and said, "Incredibly improved skin texture. Absolutely love this mask. It made my skin so much smoother and glowy the next day. The heat is quite dry where I live, and this adds so much hydration overnight. Super happy I bought this sleeping mask." So thank you very much for your review. The next one was for Applebee's EGF Collagen Moisture Cream. Now, interestingly, this is one of the brand's most popular products in Korea. It gets rave reviews. I wouldn't say it's a bestseller yet for us. There are Applebee products that are much more popular than this, but we're starting to get some good reviews come through for this one. So this customer said, "Healthier looking skin, just love the texture and smell, leaves my skin soft and brighter." We also had a review for Suvi's Hollow Dream Mask and Brush Set from a customer who said she has hormonal acne. She said, "I've been struggling with acne for the first time in my life ever. I'm 35 and have tried everything under the sun at this point." Oh God. I feel your pain. "I read an article about glass skin and K-beauty and deep dived into it. So stoked I did, because this stuff works. Bye now." So I'm so glad to hear that you have found products, because I know that feeling, and it's a very, very awful feeling. The next review we had was for Hamish's Pink Clay Mask. And our reviewer gave this a 5-star, and she said, "Fantastic pink clay. Just love this clay mask from Hamish. It leaves my skin soft and so clean, and it's for a great price too." Definitely that one is quite wallet friendly, I would say. Yeah. The last review we had for this week is for Jellico's Bubble Tea Steam Cream. And our reviewer said, "Loving this moisturizer. I originally got a sample and had to purchase a full-size jar. I use it at night following serums, leaves my skin soft and hydrated, locking in all my serums. Love the subtle scent too." Now, finally, for this week's recommendation of the week, I have another sunscreen recommendation for you. And look, this one, I will apologize, it's not going to be as easily accessible for everybody, but so many Aussies who listen to the show ask me for recommendations. And that is because you can only review sunscreen products that you have purchased with your own money in Australia. You cannot be sponsored by a brand or given a product by a brand for free and then go and spruik it on your social media account. And what that means is there are a whole lot less reviews now than there used to be a few years ago. And so, you know, people often, obviously I buy my own products, I don't get given them for free. So I am free to share my views on them. And last time I was back in Australia, I stocked up on a whole bunch of products that, you know, I said to people, "What do you want me to try?" And they gave me a whole laundry list, and I've gone out and bought them, and I've been making my way through them slowly, because as someone with very sensitive skin, I cannot just introduce a whole bunch of new products and, you know, pray for the best. That doesn't tend to work out very well for me. So I have a recommendation that I can give you, and that is for Mugu. That is the company's name. They're clear zinc. They have one for, it's for babies and kids actually, but it's a mineral sunscreen. And in general, mineral sunscreens tend to work much better for people like me that do have issues like acne and rosacea and sensitivity, compared to chemical type sunscreens. So I've tried this one out, And thankfully, it does not cause any irritation or redness, burning, stinging, or any of those things that often do occur with sunscreens in people that have really sensitive skin. What I can recommend as a hack to get the best results out of it, the texture is quite unique. It's quite creamy. A lot of these products feel a little bit more like zinc, but this one honestly feels quite creamy. The best way to apply it is to make sure you are very moisturized first, and then it really just glides on. So if you're going to be using it on your babies and kids, that's what I would recommend, is moisturize their little faces first, and then it'll just spread on like an absolute dream. This one, surprisingly, for how thick it feels going on, it sits under makeup very, very nicely. So just an all-round really nice product, and it is TGA approved, which is the most important thing for people in Australia. So look, I've just been wearing it here in Korea. The sun, you know, is incomparable. Obviously, it does not feel the same on your skin, but it's a really comfortable product to wear around. I have been trying it under different foundations, different BB cushions and things like that, and I haven't found any pilling either. So that might be one to try if your skin type is anything like mine, very dry, very sensitive, rosacea prone, anything like that. And I did purchase it with my own money, so this is 100% unsponsored, not affiliated, has nothing to do with the brand. I, like I said, literally just picked up a whole bunch of products and bought them back. That is this week's recommendation of the week. I hope that you have enjoyed today's episode. And if you do love the show and want to support us, remember you can purchase your Korean beauty products from stylestory.com.au or Woolworths online in Australia. And if you're shopping globally, you can do the same. But if you want our Jellyco products in particular, I would recommend shopping them from jellyco.com, particularly for those in the US. We have cheaper shipping rates for you guys because we have a US warehouse. All right, I will finish it up there for today. I will be back in your ears next week. And until then, I will see you on Style Story.